MAGA leaders warn Trump the base is checking out. Will he listen? Trump's advisors say he is preparing to hold near-weekly rallies to spend more time with the base, but has faced criticism from within MAGA in the meantime. As Donald Trump ate his crab cake lunch inside the White House last month, conservative pollster Amara Mitchell tried to explain that there was a disconnect between what the administration seemed to be focused on and what Trump's passionate base of supporters want to see. Sir, you got shot at the Butler rally, Mitchell said, invoking the really strong optics of Trump raising his fist in defiance after the attempted assassination in July 2024. You said, fight, 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 but nobody ever clarified what that means, Mitchell continued. And right now, you're fighting Marjorie Taylor Greene, and not actually fighting for Americans. The head pollster at Rasmussen Reports warned Trump that many of his supporters believe he hasn't drained the swamp in Washington, and suggested the president refocus with a plan to embrace pragmatic economic populism. To the extent to which we were talking about the economic populism message, he wasn't as interested as I would have hoped, Mitchell said, adding that it was a long-ranging conversation. Mitchell's critique echoes a growing chorus of faithful MAGA supporters, who have begun raising concerns over what they see as Trump's second-term shortcomings. In recent weeks, pockets of the president's base, well known for its unwavering dedication to Trump and his MAGA agenda, have accused the president of focusing too much on foreign affairs, failing to address the cost of living issues he pledged to fix, aligning himself too closely with billionaires and tech moguls, and resisting the release of more investigative files on the deceased sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein. Across the conservative spectrum, a steady drumbeat of commentators have warned that Trump's coalition is weakened, and the party is headed for defeat in November's midterms elections. There are concerns that the base won't show up over frustrations that Trump hasn't pursued the MAGA agenda aggressively enough, and others worry economic concerns could threaten his standing, with the independent voters keying next year's midterms. Trump's top advisors have taken note of the criticism from within MAGA, and see it as part of the cyclical feedback the administration will receive throughout his term, as one senior White House official put it. Trump's staff have planned for him to begin holding their weekly rallies to tout his accomplishments after spending little time on the stump this year, two officials told the Washington Post, speaking on the condition of anonymity to detail internal conversations. But on his first stop of that effort, at a casino in Pennsylvania last week, Trump again mocked the word affordability and downplayed concerns about rising costs and inflation before acknowledging, "I can't say affordability is a hoax because I agree the prices were too high." His advisors anticipate complaints from Trump's base could even become louder as the midterms approach, but will subside as more of his policies take effect. Eventually, an advisor quipped, the cycle will restart with a new set of criticisms. Chief among the recent critics has been Green, R. Georgia, whose complaints led to Trump disavowing her last month and her subsequent decision to resign from Congress. "I'm an early indicator. I'm like a bellwether," said Green, who stood by Trump during his political exile after the 6th of January, 2021, attack on the U.S. Capitol, and has prided herself on being closely attuned to Trump's base. "I say it, and then within 4 to 6 months, everybody's saying the same thing." In an interview with the Washington Post, Green said most of Trump's longtime supporters still want to see him succeed, but the base is jaded. They know what they elected him to do, Green said, and they're aware he's not doing it. Driving 80 miles an hour at a brick wall, public polling has shown mixed signals about how much Trump's support has slipped among Republicans. He maintains support from the vast majority of the party, though recent polling shows he has dipped below the GOP's usual 90% approval mark. But Trump's approval overall has lagged in recent weeks. It reached its worst with voters in late November and has ticked up slightly since, though it remains lower than at this point in his first term. An Economist/YouGov poll conducted this month found that 41% of Americans approve of the job Trump is doing, and 55% disapprove, a net improvement of 5 percentage points from the same poll a week earlier. That apparent softness has coincided with some Republicans emboldened to push back against aspects of the Trump agenda, including last week, when GOP state senators in Indiana blocked a White House-led effort to redraw the state's congressional maps. And on Thursday, 20 Republicans in Congress joined Democrats in another rebuke, supporting a bill that would overturn Trump's executive order that limited union rights for federal workers. What remains to be seen is whether that brewing dissatisfaction will grow, or if Trump can more aggressively focus on issues that quiet the discontent. Trump said Tuesday that his remaining 3 years in office amount to an eternity in Trump time to carry out his agenda. Still, the chorus of supporters willing to speak out has become louder. Mitchell was invited to the White House by Vice President J.D. Vance, who follows him on X and has communicated with Mitchell about polling in recent months. Before a lunch with Trump, Mitchell met with Vance, White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles and Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Mitchell is not part of the president's political operation, but Trump's advisors were interested in hearing his outside perspective, a White House official told the Post. Mitchell said Trump listened to his concerns and asked questions, but eventually pivoted to one of his favorite conversation topics, golf. He gushed about two of his golf partners, Sen. Lindsey Graham, our South Carolina and Fox News host Brett Baier, both of whom are the subject of MAGA faction ire. Trump also bragged about how much money he had raised during a golf fundraiser for Graham the weekend before, a day after he declared he was rescinding his support for Green. In an interview, Mitchell suggested that it would have been better for the administration to acknowledge early on that repairing the economy would take significant changes and would not occur overnight. "The very first thing they shouldn't have done is lower gas prices $1 and then say, the golden age is here," he said. Green also believes Trump is missing an opportunity to connect with his base on affordability. "People understand that it takes time to stabilize the economy," Green said, "but they take issue with Trump's claims that concerns about affordability are part of a Democrat hoax." "No, it's not, and the healthcare situation is serious. It's dire, and Republicans are only just now taking it serious," Green said, referring to expiring healthcare subsidies that will cause insurance prices to surge for Americans enrolled in Affordable Care Act plans. "This is a country driving 80 miles an hour at a brick wall on the 1st of January, when they expire," Green said. Punchy tweets, cool video edits, no follow through Savannah Hernandez, a conservative commentator who serves as a Turning Point USA contributor, described the second Trump term so far as underwhelming, while crediting Trump with making positive, lasting changes to the conservative movement. She was among the influencers the White House assembled for an Antifa roundtable with Trump in October to discuss how to stop a movement of far-left activists who have at times incited violence during protests. But on that and a host of other issues Trump's base cares about, including the administration's goal to deport more than 1 million illegal immigrants this year, which it is not expected to reach, accountability for what they believe were government agencies being weaponized against conservatives, and vows to make life more affordable, Hernandez said he has fallen short. Get the Post Most newsletter, the most popular and interesting stories of the day to keep you in the know. In your inbox, every day all we've really seen is punchy tweets, cool video edits, but really no follow through on any of the promises, she said of the messaging coming from the White House, and if you listened to his base, and he was connected to us, even just through social media, you would see that the average person is still struggling to buy groceries, that the housing crisis is still on the mind of everybody, that inflation is still a really big issue, and when Americans see billions of dollars going overseas to any country, it really feels like a betrayal when we're all struggling here at home, Hernandez said. Two senior White House officials said Trump on nearly a daily basis is shown a range of feedback from market commentators, including criticism about his performance. In a statement, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt called Trump the proud founder and undisputed leader of MAGA, the greatest political movement in American history. President Trump is delivering on his core campaign promises across the board, keeping his word to the nearly 80 million patriots who elected him in a landslide, and fighting every day to make America greater than ever before, she said. Other MAGA-aligned voices downplayed the extent that critical voices within the movement are a warning sign. Jack Posobiec, a longtime activist and conservative media figure, described Trump's performance as light years beyond his first term. You will always have this sliver of people. It's a very online group of people, a very active group of people, who would say they want more, they want more, they want more, Posobiec said in an interview. And I get that. Isabel Brown, another conservative podcaster, said the complaints from within MAGA are a signal of a healthy conservative debate. Populist voices urge Trump to course correct in Georgia. 36-year-old Jessie Meadows, a Trump voter who describes herself as MAGA, grew frustrated this year as prices remained high, and the president responded dismissively to the push to release more files on Epstein. Her disappointment hardened as Trump attacked Green and Rep. Thomas Massey, our Kentucky, who also pushed for the file's release. Trump's online posts touting favorable polls and success bringing down inflation seemed like his own version of fake news, Meadows said. She voted for Democratic candidates in November's Public Service Commission elections in Georgia that flipped the seats from the GOP, and said that going forward, she will back candidates she considers America first, regardless of party. If I had known what Trump was going to turn into now, I would have stayed home, Meadows said. Many supporters like her have been turned off seeing what was once a full calendar of rallies in middle America, replaced with opulent events with business leaders, deal signings with billionaires and travel to other continents. While meeting with Trump, Mitchell told the president his base of supporters wanted to see him smash the oligarchy, not be the oligarchy, building billionaire-funded ballrooms and jet-setting around the world and trillion-dollar investment deals looks a lot like oligarchy stuff, Mitchell told the Post. Despite acknowledging Trump's departures from his base on issues like foreign and tech policy, some top populist voices in his movement insist the president is course-correcting to win back support ahead of the midterms. Trump is pivoting into a much harder populist nationalist stance on deportations, drug cartels, third world fraud, tariffs, said Stephen K. Bannon, his former advisor turned influential talk show host and operative. It's only harder from here to November 2026. Bannon, who has been outspoken against efforts by wealthy tech executives to influence Trump's policies, told the Post. Oligarchs didn't sign up for the wet whip of modern politics. They will be the first off the bus. MAGA influencers have cringed at some of Trump's comments they view as out of touch with his base, especially his assertion on Fox News that the U.S. needs foreign workers because it does not have enough talented people. Not long after, Trump acknowledged that his base wasn't happy with his decision to welcome foreign tech workers to the country, but said his poll numbers would instead go up with smart people. Raheem Kassam, a British right-wing influencer living in Washington, who is editor of the conservative National Pulse, said his phone lit up with complaints when Trump made the poll comment, "I'm just saying, listen to the people that elected you, because right now, apart from the deportation stuff, you're not really connecting with them," Kassam said. In response to a request for comment from the White House, in addition to Leavitt, Vance provided the Post with a statement touting a reduction in the number of illegal immigrants in the country. Trump's work with pharmaceutical companies to lower drug prices for some Americans, among other accomplishments, is there more work to do? Of course there is, Vance said, and no one is more committed to doing it than the President of the United States and his team. Other Trump supporters said that while not everything has panned out as they hoped, they remain confident in the president. He is not a king, said Jerry Ramsey, 81, from Marietta, Georgia. He can't just say, "You gotta cut the price of a hamburger." Within another year, I think things will be rocking on pretty good. Natalie Allison is a White House reporter for the Washington Post. She previously covered Donald Trump's presidential campaign, the MAGA movement and the Republican Party more broadly. Kadia Boba covers the House of Representatives for the Washington Post. Send her a secure tips on Signal at Kadia. 99 Hannah Knowles is a national politics reporter covering campaigns at the Washington Post. She previously reported for the Post's general assignment desk. Pulitzer Prize, winning content. In your pocket, download the Washington Post app to access the Post wherever you are. Democracy Dies in Darkness, copyright 1996 to 2025, The Washington Post.